Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Okay, so what do you know to this point, just based on interviews and discussions, that at least gives you a basis to start?
Well, I mean, what we saw a little bit of Drew last year, of course. Didn't see Bo. He didn't really get an opportunity to play. I saw Bo play in high school. He played here for Central York against Exeter. Was impressed with him. So I sort of know, based on what that and what we've been hearing, especially this spring, that he's a very determined young man, but also a very mobile young man who can run the football and is underrated as a passer. We know with Drew Aller, he has all the physical tools. He is clearly the leader, if in fact that hasn't already been decided that he's going to be the quarterback. And I think it's I want to make this clear, Steve, because I don't think it has been made clear by many people. They have to get both quarterbacks ready.
Yes.
Because the position right now is thin, with just three scholarship quarterbacks, including Jackson Smolak. So I think it's imperative that Bo Pribula is as prepared as he can be in case something happens to Drew Aller.
Interesting. And there's no question, you're right. And in today's game, and Jack Ham and I talk about this all the time, you really need to have two quarterbacks all the time because of the physicality and the hits that are taken at that position. Even if as well protected as you can be, there's going to be a couple times during the course of any game, even with a great offensive line, you're going to get tagged.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, for as big and strong as Drew Aller is at 6'5", 240-plus pounds, you know, what's to say, like, he doesn't get hit one time hard and, you know, struggles to get up and has to come off the field for a play or two, whatever. I mean, it's really important that Bo Pribula be prepared to come in what could be a real critical juncture of a very big game. I think it sounds to me like the Penn State coaches have a lot of faith and confidence in both of them. We know that Aller was rated one of the top two high school quarterbacks in the country coming out of Ohio, but I think they do believe in both of them, and like I said, they're going to have to be, both of them are going to have to be ready no matter what going into the fall.
Trey Wallace and Keandre Lambert Smith, just based on what James has told the media, have been the two receivers that have stepped up. What will you be looking for to see who has the chance to maybe be a third and a fourth?
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of guys, really, and I couldn't tell you, you know, because we're not at practice for extended periods of time, who's looked really good in spring practice. But it sounds, what James said Tuesday night, that you could put Omari Evans, I hope I don't miss anybody here, Malik Mega, Caden Saunders, I could go on and on. There's six or seven guys.
Malik McClain.
You know, and they can be all put in one basket right now, and nobody has emerged to be the third or the fourth guy. Now, we know that Dante Cephas is coming in from Kent State in May, late May, and, you know, he, of course, is expected to make an impact, and I would assume would be the third receiver with Lambert Smith and Wallace, but you know, some of those younger guys really, you know, they're going to see time if they put themselves in position as the fourth or fifth wide receiver. So yeah, I'll be looking to that on tomorrow too. But I want to see what Trey Wallace can do too. He obviously had a big Rose Bowl game, made two catches, very important catches that set up touchdowns for Penn State. And, you know, I'd like to see more of him. I'm not saying he has to prove himself or anything like that, but I would like to see more of him. And I would also like to see if one of those younger guys, one of those guys in that one big pot, one of them emerges and maybe does himself a big makes a big leap tomorrow.
Defensively, anybody catch, you know, that you're anxious to see catches your eye?
Well, let me just preface by saying I remember 2 years ago Kalen King made a quick impression in his, you know, so I'm looking to see Storm Duck. I mean, he's a transfer from North Carolina, as you know. He's obviously a proven talent, but I'd like to see what he can do. The other guy I'd like to see, we're going to see more of him apparently based on what James has said, is Zane Duran, a defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I know he has a tremendous upside, and James last week went on and on about how terrific a spring he's had. So that's another guy I'll be watching on the. I know it's not a lot of fans will be watching that on the interior line, but I will. And the other guy, of course, there's a buzz about is the linebacker Tony Rojas from Virginia, who is just enrolled. I mean, there seems to be a lot of talk about him, and it's amazing that he's put on almost 30 pounds since enrolling at Penn State in January. And you know, Penn State won a recruiting battle with Georgia, of all teams, to get him. So obviously he's very talented, and you know, James also mentioned him in the last week or two.
What do you think on this particular day is more intriguing, the scrimmage itself or the transfer portal opening on Sunday and running through the 30th?
I don't want to, you know, you and I have been around a long time. I will say this: the blue-white game is not one of my favorite days on the beat. It's interesting. I mean, there are some blue-white games more interesting than others, and I'm hoping I'm wrong, and I hope tomorrow is one of them. But I think it's going to be fascinating to watch the activity in the portal over the next 48 to 72 hours. Yeah, I mean, you could see guys playing tomorrow in the blue-white game and then entering their name in the portal Sunday or Monday. I mean, that's very possible, and it's interesting to see. And that goes not just to Penn State. That's everywhere. You know, that's going to happen. It's the way it is right now. People don't like it. Casual fans don't like to talk about name, image, and likeness. They don't like to talk about the transfer portal. But these are the realities. These are the times that we live in, unfortunately, and they're part of the game now, and you better be on your P's and Q's when it comes to NIL and the transfer portal.
All right, so what happens with Aaron Rodgers?
I knew you were going to ask me that. Oh, I mean, he's going to be traded. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's what are the terms of the deal? And that's what's being discussed to this moment. I don't know if the Packers are demanding a first-round pick this year or next year, but it'll be interesting to see when this deal is made what the terms of it are. You know, it's funny listening to all the talk about who has the upper hand in this, the Jets or the Packers. And honestly, you know, neither really has an upper hand or a lower hand, for that matter, until, you know, OTAs begin, and you know, we'll see what happens. And I don't think anything is going to happen. I think something will happen before the draft, because they have to know that, and they're going to have to complete a deal before that, and the draft begins in less than 2 weeks.
Do you have any idea how good Jordan Love is?
No, not really. Yeah. I mean, he's improved,
exactly.
and everything you read, the Packers feel. The way he played against the Eagles, which, okay, it has impressed them. We'll see. I just have a feeling they just got tired of the whole drama.
The soap opera.
They just got tired of the drama, and that's why they just decided, look, you know, we need an answer here. And it's hard to blame them.
No, it is hard to blame. There's no question about it. Just a question of what kind of return they get.
Yeah.
And whether it helps them down the road. But, I mean, after a while, there's only so many dances you can have with the drama person. And I think last season was the last dance.
So. Yeah. I mean, you know, and as much as I've enjoyed watching him play for the last 17, 18 years, whatever it's been, or actually, you know, 15, 16 years as a starter, it's time. And it's unfortunate, but it's also one of the reasons why Devontae Adams signed with the Las Vegas Raiders last year, because he didn't know what Aaron Rodgers was going to do.
Yeah.
And he took less money to go to the Raiders than he did with the Packers, because he was tired of it too. I mean, he won't say that publicly, but it was pretty obvious. So we'll see. We'll see, Steve. We got a lot of basketball news too, right? Up your way?
Yeah, and this will be another big transfer recruiting weekend. So I think I have four guys. Two of them have already committed, but all four of them are going to be here together this weekend. And Mike is hoping it. This is part of the foundation of what he wants to build here. So,
yeah. Well, I on a personal note, I'm from Hazleton, which is about a stone's throw away from Hanoi City, and Mike and I have never met, but I've obviously followed his career, and I used to, back before Mike played in the early '80s, I covered football and basketball in the Monterey area, and I really hope he does well. For, you know, at being somebody from the coal region like him, I hope he does well.
You'll like him. He's got the work ethic of somebody from the coal region, so that makes a big difference.
Nice to hear.
My friend, appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Same here, Steve. Thanks for having me on.